Yesterday, I decided to try to go trail running with Jeremy, who's in much better shape than me. We also started at about a little after 9 o'clock. You guys already know about that response. it was a little bit cooler than it had been, and the clouds were out at first. They quickly went away, and the sun came out in full heat. And I hadn't run in a while. I'd done plenty of hiking, but not really running for a few months. So our trail run ended up being probably about 40 minutes of hiking and me feeling close to death with maybe 5 minutes of, on the downhills, me picking up the pace to a slow run. And towards the end, the last fourth or so, water was getting low and that sun was fierce. And I felt like my skin and my blood and my brain were all just boiling with heat. And Jeremy kept saying, "Oh, we're almost there. It's just, 15 more minutes to the parking lot." And I think he said that about 15 times. And at one point I was thinking to myself, I might be in trouble here. I might be one of these people that you hear about on the news that think they're in good enough shape and they can handle it. And then they end up passing out in the desert and have to call an ambulance or something like that. Thankfully, that did not happen. The 15 minutes finally ended. But I was thinking about that and thinking about this passage from Psalm 86 all week. And it struck me before, my life has very seldom and for very few seconds at a time been in any kind of threat. Even yesterday, that threat was probably not that big of a deal. It didn't feel good at the moment. But I'm sure Jeremy probably was thinking, he's fine. And there's been a couple of times, some car accidents, hydroplaning, some other hiking experiences that were pretty sketchy, where my life might have been in a little bit of trouble, a little bit of distress, but not much. Now, some of you here, you may have been experienced times of real distress and trouble where your life was on the line, much, much deeper than mine. But hopefully most of us haven't experienced too much of that. What all of us have experienced, I think, at least most people over 25, is different types of distress in your life, different types of trouble, because this life has sufferings for Christians too. Deep ones. There's a short, very short David Crowder song that starts off very melancholy. "I've had enough, enough to tear me in two." If you live very long, you've been at that point where you've had enough and you feel like, "I just can't take it anymore." The stress is so deep, the sorrow, the loss, loved ones, sicknesses, betrayals, they weigh so heavy, great distresses. So we've all experienced some type of distress, some type of sorrow. And we know that we will likely have a few more of those in this life. David, in this psalm today, Psalm 86, cries out to God in his distress. And if you read through any of the daily office, the ACNA daily office this week, it was in 1 Samuel, biography sections of David's life. And as I read through that again, and thinking, of course, with Psalm 86 in mind, this prayer of David, as I read through that, I just was struck more than I ever have been about the suffering that David went through, the troubles and the stress. We all know them. If you've been in the church very long, if you've read Scripture, you've heard David's story, parts of it, hopefully all of it many times. He went through a lot. Some of his distress and troubles, a lot of his distress and troubles were from his own sin and foolish actions. But the section this week, if you were going through those daily office, you read about his son, Amnon, committing a terrible sin against his sister, David's daughter, Tamar. And then Abimelech coming and seeking revenge, killing his brother, also David's son, and then chasing David out of the kingdom, taking over his throne. David living in exile, and Absalom, And he and David, even in battle, saying to his commanders and the others in the army, if you come across Absalom, do not kill him. And yet they disobeyed him and they killed him. And David, despite his son's cruelty toward his own son's cruelty towards him, he mourned and mourned deeply. And that was just that section of the daily of reading through the daily office this week. We know from very early on, as a young man, David was facing lions and bears against, as a shepherd. He faced Goliath, of course, the story that everyone knows. That was not easy. His life was in distress at that moment, except for God's grace and God's power. And all through his life, he continued through battles, wars with other tribes, King Saul chasing him through caves and wilderness, despite David's care for him. David lost his best friend, Jonathan, because of that. Sorrow after sorrow, distress after distress, trouble after trouble, David faces. And so I think it's important to realize that in light of this psalm. And I hope you heard, I just loved that, how we sang that psalm today, and that focus on God's goodness and forgiveness that we heard that we sang over and over this morning. So let's read. I would like to read Psalm 86 because we didn't quite read through everything. And it's with all that in mind about David's life. Listen to how he trusts God, how he talks about God's goodness in the midst of all these deep troubles and sorrows. Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am devoted to you. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for to you do I cry all day long. Gladden the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call on you. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Listen to my cry of supplication. In the day of my trouble, I call on you, for you will answer me. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. All the nations you have made shall come and bow down before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart to revere your name. I give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever. For great is your steadfast love toward me. You have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. O God, the insolent rise up against me. A band of ruffians seeks my life, and they do not set you before them. But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Turn to me and be gracious to me. Give your strength to your servant. Save the child of your serving girl. Show me a sign of your favor, so that those who hate me may see it and be put to shame, because you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. These are the words of God's servant David, who suffered far more than most of us will suffer. And yet he could say this. He could say, you are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love. Great is your steadfast love towards me. You have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. You are good. You are God, merciful and gracious, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, slow to anger. You have helped me and comforted me. So this psalm shows us that someone can suffer so much and still call out and trust God and believe in God this way. We can cry out to God. Why? Because he is good. And I think in our distress, too often we can forget his goodness. There's whether it's your life on the line or it's the great sorrows that happen in our life, the loss of others, loss of friendships, things that we mentioned, or attacks on your faith. People that, there are a lot of people today in our, especially in our society, that say God's not good. Our young, the youth, especially in public school settings, and it doesn't matter, they're going to hear it no matter what. You're hearing it too, I think. There are a lot of people saying God's not good. Yes, He is. There's a lot of books, there's a lot of apologetics, great works that you can read about God's goodness in the midst of suffering that might help. But I think the Spirit of God has to move on your hearts the way it moved on David. It has to be to move on your heart and see God work in your life, to remember the goodness that He's shown to you, to remember the words of Scripture, remember these prayers like of David's that show His goodness. And you can sing that those lines from Amazing Grace. Through many troubles, dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. So this psalm gives us an example of a person who suffered much, who still cries out to God because He is good. So we should cry out to God in our distress because He is good. But there's one other important point, very important point I think we need to see in this psalm. And it's something we should always look for in all of Scripture. Because this is God's Word. There is the Spirit of God, we believe, working through all of Scripture and pointing to our Lord. And how does this passage point to our Lord? How does it point to the good news of Jesus Christ? How does it show us that need? I'm going to throw some weight, a heavy hitter, behind this one because I don't carry that much weight. I'm going to use words from Augustine that just his commentary, his thoughts on Psalm 86. I just found myself saying, wow, 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 as I read through it this week. I'm just going to do a little section here that he says. He looks at verse 2, and Augustine is reading either Latin or Greek, presumably, the languages that he was familiar with. And in those translations, Latin, sanctus, most of us probably know that means holy. This is in verse 2. So our NRSV, the Pew Bible, says, "Preserve my life, for I am devoted to you." Depending on which translation you were reading, you might see it say, "Because I am godly, because I am holy, because I am faithful." There's several different English words trying to translate this word. And for Augustine, it was holy. And it's not bad. It's not far. Or devoted is not far either. Maybe you've heard this word talked about before, this Hebrew word, hesed. It has, I think, one of the better translations is covenantal faithfulness. God is constantly showing covenantal faithfulness to Israel, to His people, never breaking His promise, always loving His people. Well, this is what David is saying right here. I am showing hesed to you. I am trying to keep this loving covenantal faithfulness that is supposed to always be this relationship between God and His people. Well, Augustine reads this, and this is what he says. I know not whether anyone could say this, I am holy. But he who was in the world without sin, Jesus. Who else could say that they keep hesed perfectly, that they are holy, except our Lord? David's son and David's Lord. And what most moves me about what Augustine said there is this next line. He says, "When therefore I hear, for I am holy, I recognize His voice." He recognizes Jesus' voice, our Lord and our God. "I recognize His voice, yet do I exclude my own?" I was already impressed with the recognition of Christ's voice. But Augustine goes on and says, "Surely He speaks inseparably from His body, us, the church. As many as are baptized in Christ have put on Christ, he reminds us. Therefore, the whole body of Christ may say, it may cry everywhere while it suffers tribulations, various temptations and offenses. It may say, preserve my life, for I am holy. My God, save your servant who trusts in you. We cry out with our Lord and our God who suffered even more than David, who shows us perfectly the goodness of God. This psalm, all the way through, I'm going to keep it short, but there are so many highlights pointing to Jesus. Charles Spurgeon says, there is no wonder so wonderful as the pardon of our transgressions, as David talks about the wonders of God in this passage. There is an Anglican bishop from a couple hundred years ago, Christopher Wordsworth. If you know Latin, here's your chance to practice. He says, here is the via veritas vita of the gospel. Via tua, veritas tua, vita tua, Christus. Christ is our way, truth, and life. Christopher Wordsworth, he had in verse 11 in mind where David says, teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart to revere your name. What's the way? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Spurgeon also says in verse 12, by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are delivered from a still deeper abyss of death, deeper than Sheol. We are delivered by Christ because God is good. The words that David recites in verse 15, you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. That's repeated over and over. The last time I preached from Nehemiah, I talked about how that was a greater, bigger, more important point than the rebuilding of the walls and all the other things that we saw in there. It was God's goodness. And we desperately need this reminder. I think that's why it shows up over and over and over and over again. God is good. And in this world of sufferings, we need that reminder. And the last verse. Show me a sign of your favor, so that those who hate me may see it and be put to shame. Because you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. Back to Augustine. What sign? What sign but that of the resurrection? What greater sign? At the last trumpet, in the coming of the Lord, both the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. This will be a sign for good, that they who hate me may see it and be ashamed. At that time, all of our doubts, all of our sufferings, what Paul said in the reading from Romans today, they'll be as nothing. They'll be counted as nothing. When our God, who is good, hears our cry, and he hears our cry now, and he is going to wipe away every tear. Cry out to God because he is good.